Hello, Yost. We're back for the election edition, Wednesday edition of the Throw It in the Ocean podcast. How's it going today, man?
Good man, the election special. Excited to be here. Wednesdays are always good days to record. The one thing I want to cover real quick before we get into that
All right.
is I listen to a lot of podcasts. You listen to a lot of podcasts, and we need something. We need a good tagline at the beginning of each podcast. For example, I listen to Ear Biscuits a lot, Rhett and Link, and one of their taglines is, they have two. One of them is "Today at the table of dim lighting," because they do a video version. And then recently, they started doing the podcast of two lifelong friends talking about life for a long time, nice little taglines. And so I was thinking, what does the throw it in the ocean? We need one. And where do we start? And the first thing that came to mind was, now we never grew up next to the ocean, so this is a little weird. If anything, this podcast probably should be throwing it in the pond because we really, yeah, we don't, we're not, we don't have experience with oceans.
We're definitely landlocked.
So what I picture is two men, two middle-aged men sitting on the dock with their feet dangling down. And they're just throwing rocks into the ocean while they're just talking about whatever. You know what I mean? Like when we grew up, we sat on the bench in our hometown and we just solved the world's problems right then and there. Everybody's throwing rocks across the pond while or a lake while they're out there. And it's kind of like the same idea as I picture two middle-aged men throwing rocks and just discussing everything that the world has to offer. You know
I
what I mean?
follow you. I feel you. What if we did like skipping rocks or something like that?
Something to tie in, throw it in the ocean,
I feel what
and
you're
just
saying.
and like a tagline. We'll get there. We'll come up with something.
We might have to workshop it.
We'll workshop it.
Focus groups.
Focus group it. We'll send out a survey to our listeners, especially the ones in Zimbabwe. I want to see what they got to say. Big day, big election day. But again, Todd and I always have things to talk about. One of the things that I have been thinking about a lot lately, because I've been helping kids with job applications, or I've been talking to kids about their first jobs and what it means to get a career and the difference between a job and stuff like that. And it made me wonder, what was your first job?
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good.
Like either something you did as a kid that was like, ah, that's Todd's job. That's what Todd does around the house. Or your first job where you actually started making money.
Yeah, I can give you both. Actually, let me caveat this. So, first job, I would say, and a case could be made that I didn't get an allowance growing up, but my parents would say, if you do take the garbages out after school, vacuum the house, and do kind of like those chore things, because they both worked, and my sister was much younger. They would give me like, I think it was like $5 for chore days or whatever it was, you know what I mean? So it wasn't a lot of money. And that was probably when I was, oh, I'm gonna say like fourth grade, third, fourth, fifth, something like that. So pretty young. But then kind of looking towards actual workforce stuff in high school, I actually got a job before you're like of age, so to speak. So you're not getting taxed on it. I worked for a guy just working on his house and doing landscaping stuff, and just paid me cash like in the summers. So that was interesting. A lot of physical manual labor. There was like a 70-year-old dude was just like, "Hey, go stack all these railroad ties up so I can build the retaining wall," or just and then like routine stuff working for him, like mowing and trimming and taking care of his trees and stuff like that. So that was an interesting one. I also did a summer where I worked for another dude, and this dude was just like a seasonal guy up in the Du Bois area. He was like a really rich guy. He had a huge cabin west of Du Bois, and you could tell he was only there like maybe 2 months a year, because the whole place was just like had sparse furniture, like really nice stuff, but everything was dusty. And like the house itself was like cold because they never run the heat. But it was a log house. So I spent like one summer doing odd jobs for him. I ended up like restaining, treating like all the logs on the log house and So that was an interesting one. But then like first real employment would have been, I think it was working at the Taylor Creek Exxon, either running the counter at the gas station, convenience store, and then slowly working into the deli slash kitchen area. Right. And I did that for like my last year of high school, worked some nights and weekends. And then I did that last summer before we went to college.
Yeah.
What about you? I'm curious. I can't remember what, I guess somewhere in there, I kind of skipped over somewhere in there. We did the Cyber Cafe summer too.
So
that would have probably been, that might've been the same summer I did the log cabin stuff for that guy. Cause that Cyber Cafe thing was only like 3 or 4 days a week. So I might've done that on the other days.
True. Yeah. It was a part-time gig. I remember my, one of my first jobs besides like, I remember helping my grandparents like get their house together in Riverton. So my job was like picking sagebrush out of the grass or out of the field so they could have a grass, which was awful. And I'm pretty sure I was paid by meals, which is fine. Cause I was like four. Also, I was at four, but, also, if you ever want to know how old a kid should be based on like what grade they're in, just take the grade and add five.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Kindergarten, 5-year-old. Yep.
Yep. So, and then vice versa. If a kid's, if you're like, well, this kid's 16, I don't know what grade he's in, minus five, boom, there you go. So I do remember specifically, there was a time where my mom and I lived in the Super 8 in town, because she was like a live-in manager, I guess you would call it. Just a manager that lived on the premises there. So we had like our own apartment that was built into the Super 8, which was tiny. And I remember while I was there, I actually had a job called stripping and stocking. And in the hotel lingo, that meant when somebody would check out, I would go in before the housekeepers went in and I would stage the room so that was faster for them to get done. So that meant like taking all the old sheets and blankets and pillowcases and towels and everything, chucking them out in the laundry, and then bringing in the new stuff, the new trash liners, the new sheets, everything that needed to be new. I'd pile it up so they could clean and then put all the stuff away. I don't know if I got paid for that, to be honest. Maybe like $5 here and there. Because I didn't need the money. I was definitely in middle school. And then I know that there was times where we didn't have a maintenance man there. So like my mom would send me out with like the weed whacker to like trim up around the hotel to make it look good. And I just remember specifically like breaking the weed whacker. Cause you know how you like hit it against the ground to get more line to come out. I didn't know it was more of a tap instead of a slam. So I was just like beating the shit out of this freaking weed whacker on the ground. And so I pretty much got fired from my landscaping job. But yeah, I think the hotel was one of the first ones that I did, which I have fond memories of because usually you were done by like noon every day because checkout's 11, you know, so most people are gone by then. And I never did anything with the people that stayed extra nights. It was always just the one nighters because my mom didn't trust me going in rooms and for a good reason, I was a little shit back then. But I always remember like I'd go into the room, I would open up the blinds and I'd turn on Disney Channel. And Disney Channel during the like mornings and mid-afternoons had some of like the greatest television shows on there or whatever. So most of the time I would always get caught sitting on the bed, not doing my job, just watching like Disney Channel. And so I just always remember like that. I just have fond memories of just sitting in dirty ass rooms that people probably had sex on the beds. And I'm sitting on the sheets just watching like Leave It to Beaver. I don't, you know, whatever. which was definitely not Disney Channel, but so that, yeah, that was probably one of the first ones. After that, it was the Cyber Cafe, and then the grocery store.
Oh, that's right.
That was like my big job. Like, yeah, I worked at the Cyber Cafe during the school year, but I got to a point where I hated it. And I probably couldn't afford to pay me anymore. I was literally a genius at that point. So I went to the grocery store and that was probably where most of my like work memories are made. I mean, I could do a whole podcast on that. In fact, it would be great to even have John on the show because we both worked there together and we did some crazy stuff there. tiny little grocery store. They didn't trust me with like anything. So my job was basically stocking the shelves and helping old ladies out to their cars. Well, John got to like cut meat in the back around all the sharp objects. Nick got work there as well. His brother, he got to order all the Pepsi products and Coke products and be all in charge of that and stuff. And then there was me, like, you know, I would get yelled at constantly because you know how you're supposed to like rotate the product. So you put the old stuff in the front and then you put the new in the back. Mm-hmm. I never did that. So there was definitely a period of time where like all the way in the back was a can that had expired like years ago, but I just never pulled it forward and put the new stuff in the back. 'Cause I was too lazy. So for good reason, they didn't give me the important jobs. So,
yeah, I mean, that's kind of what they expect that, right? At that age.
I would hope so.
I'm thinking back and it kind of slips my mind because I forgot how many odds and ends jobs that you end up doing, or at least that I ended up doing back then. But I remember I also did like a side like mowing and weed whacking business for like dude ranches too. And it was just like I had like two or three of them. And I don't know how that came to be, but I remember doing that off and on, like, you know, I had like one day a week where I'd go do those and right. I would literally carry the weed eater in my Volkswagen Baja. And then every place that I had a mower. So that was nice. And then, I filled in helping, some of our other high school buddies that were in my class. They had like a mowing business. So they did like a ton of houses in town. So when when one of them was gone, I'd fill in for them if I had time. Yeah. And then, just thinking back that the rich dude that was working for west of Dubois, like almost halfway to Jackson at the crazy expensive, like log mansion. Right. I was thinking while you were talking, how the hell did I get that job? And I remembered, and this is going to sound so bizarre probably, in today's times, but I was literally checking out at the grocery store and it was just some random dude that was like, hey, do you want to earn some extra money? And I remember being like, maybe, like, I can't even remember what I said, but he's like, right. I have a place like west of town. I need somebody to do some odd jobs. And he might've said like some things that he's like, do you know how to do this? Do you know how to run a tractor or pressure washer or whatever it was? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, I pay you pretty good. And I was like, okay. And I think he paid me like 14 or 15 bucks an hour.
Yeah.
And he, like, they fed me every day. And, but just thinking back to that, I'm trying to remember the conversation I had with my parents. And I'm like, yeah, oh, yeah, by the way, I got another side gig. Some dude at the grocery store is like, you want to earn some extra money? And I was just like, yeah, sure. You know what I mean? How random is that?
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. Dubois was on another level when it came to weird stuff like that. Like,
and this guy was not a guy that was known in the town. Like, he was just like a seasonal guy. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that makes it weirder. But then it's also at the same time, like, people were just like more trustworthy back then.
Yeah, for sure.
You know? So you were fine. You were probably in a sketchier situation when you're riding up the mountain with Brady Kraft to fix the satellite internet, honestly.
Yeah, no kidding.
So one of the things that I actually had brought up in a class not that long ago, and then you brought it up again, and I kind of wanted to touch on it, was dude ranches. Part of my job at the grocery store, working with John as well, is the dude ranches around the area would order groceries and we would deliver them to them because they twice a week, they weren't coming into town. They were usually pretty far out of town. And a dude ranch, for anybody that doesn't know, and I looked this up, so I'm not just pulling this out of my ass. The term dude was kind of a reference to city slickers from like people from the West, like, oh, all the people from the big cities, they're all dudes. I don't really know. Maybe it was derogatory, but, so ranches in the West, people, it was an experience for city slickers to come out West and experience like what it was like to be a cowboy in air quotes, you know,
pretty much.
And so these dude ranches opened up, which just basically most time were like cattle ranches or whatever. They'd open up their doors. City slickers or dudes would pay a ton of money to spend a week living that cowboy life, eating steak on a fire, riding horses, seeing wildlife and just seeing mountains and all this, you know, all that crazy stuff. And they would make so much money. Those dude ranches would rake in the money.
Well, they would pay the people that would send or that would take their families or send their kids to a dude ranch for two. And I think it was, I'm thinking those were 2 or 2 week was like a minimum duration. Yeah. I know they paid a ton of money because the people that staffed them, they were able to hire like college kids to come and like be the guides and be the, to run the places. And they made bank too.
Oh yeah.
And they're in like beautiful locations. So to open or convert a place that used to be an actual ranch into a dude ranch, you know, that's not cheap. But yeah, that was a big business when we were there. I think that still goes on.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. Cause it's just forever. People are going to want to see what the West is like. And I'll tell you what, for being in the West, it's not that great, but when they bring people out here, they punch it up to be amazing.
Oh yeah. They even did like rodeos. They would do like, I think that's how the Friday night rodeo, or I think it's Friday night in Dubois started.
Yeah. You're probably right. I mean, they used to do swing dancing.
Yep.
Maybe it was Friday before the rodeos or sometime during the week.
Yep.
One of the bars in town would open up the dance floor, and they would bring in shuttles, like buses of people from these dude ranches, to come in do swing dancing with the locals. Like, it was a big deal.
It definitely was. And talking about it now, it makes me think that we're talking about a TV show.
Yeah,
100%. You know what I mean? It sounds so like... not real.
Dude, we used to have, remember the stagecoach? There was just next to the bar that you learned how to square dance and line dance as a New Yorker. You could walk out the bar on, and the sidewalks weren't sidewalks. Like, you know, they were boardwalks like you would see in the old Western TV shows.
Yep.
They were boardwalks. So it was all uneven and stuff. You'd turn the corner and there'd be a horse, two horses pulling a stagecoach. You'd give this guy money. He'd take you through town on a stagecoach, just like back in the day. And you'd get your pictures taken and everything. Like, Dubois thrived on being a tourist town with both snowmobile and hunting and stuff like that. But also during the summer, it was your gateway to the Tetons. Like, if you wanted to hit the Tetons, that was one way you could get there, go to Yellowstone and all that stuff. So they prided themselves on that.
How the hell did they... how did that all get started in an age when social media and marketing and all the getting connecting people that live on the coastlines to a 1200 person town in Dubois, you know what I mean? How did they advertise that? How did they find people? Was it literally all word of mouth, or, you know what I mean? Isn't that bizarre?
It is. And I think 100% it's word of mouth, because when you think about that path going to Jackson or going to Yellowstone, like, yeah, there's other ways, if not even prettier ways to get there. The road from freaking Lander and Riverton, the only road you're on is literally the road through Dubois.
Yeah. One road in, one road out.
Yeah. And do you remember that gas station that was on the outside of town as you were coming from like the Three Lakes? And I don't know if it actually ever was a gas station or what, but it had that sign for the longest time that said last gas for 70 miles.
Yep.
But literally you went over the hill and there was Dubois. like you could put anything on those signs because people just were in the middle of nowhere and they just start panicking that, oh my God, we might actually not be able to get gas for a while.
Yep.
So it is weird to think. And I know like a lot of people, Dubois itself probably spent a lot of money on advertising for like tourism boards. So you're, you know, hey, we're going to spend this amount of money to say, hey, come visit our town. And then that group just spreads it all over the place. Like, oh, here's a random commercial in, in Colorado for Dubois, Wyoming, just to come and stop by. That's the only thing I could think.
Yeah. That's all I mean, me too. It's not like people were road tripping to Yellowstone and they rolled through Dubois and they're like, ah, we're going to leave our kids here for 2 weeks. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Right.
So pretty wild.
It is a weird town. We could go on and on about Dubois, and we probably will. But man, we got to touch on this kind of big thing that's going on right now.
Yeah. So this Wednesday, obviously election day was yesterday, election night, election day, whatever we're going to call it. No result as of yet. So we are pushing on 24 hours after, at least 24 hours after the polls closed here, mm-hmm. or roughly anyways. And no result. All the counting all the mail-ins and checking everything out, and pretty weird. I think we're all used to at least having a somewhat declared victor, or somebody had such a big lead that the other concedes or something like that.
Right. I definitely don't think this will be one where they concede. Anything, we've already had Trump come out and say that he's already decisively won. But yeah, it is weird, man. I didn't even stay up that late because at one point I just, the news did it kind of a great job of being like, look, don't freaking set your heart on anything because we got a long ways to go. And so I was like, well, I'm just going to go to sleep because nothing's going to be decided. And here we are, 24 hours from when the first polls started closing on the East Coast, and we're still not that close.
Nope. So the one that you can see, there's about maybe four or five states that are still undeclared or undetermined. And I know for a fact that Nevada has come out and said that they had so many mail-ins that they're probably not going to have all of them counted until at the earliest end of day tomorrow, maybe even the end of the week. And the way that I've been running the scenarios here, because I've been using Politico as a site, you can actually do the scenarios yourself. If Trump is able to hold Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia, which are all currently in his favor, Pennsylvania is the one that potentially could swing because of all the mail-ins, but he will need Nevada in order to win. If he loses pretty much any of them, it's over.
Right. And as we're speaking, right now, as we're speaking, and things could change with the Supreme Court potentially getting involved in the potential for recounts and stuff. If Biden wins, he's at 264. So if he wins Nevada, it's over. And right now he's leading, but only 75% of the stuff is in.
Here's the wrinkle though. He might win Nevada and he'll be at 270, but and Trump's already said it, or his campaign is, and it's actually that close in Wisconsin that's well within the recount limit. He's literally only less than 20,000 people votes behind switching that electoral 10 electoral votes. He's already said that if it goes down to that, he's going to request that, but he's not happy about that one, Michigan. But the one that if it changes is Pennsylvania. It doesn't matter what happens because there's too many electoral votes in Pennsylvania. So at that point you would have to have another play on to try to somehow stay in office, but I don't know how that would ever happen, at least not in a manner that we are used to seeing.
Right. So what do you think? Are you surprised by what's happening?
Tell you what, man. I'm surprised that he has a chance still. How much coverage and how much the public sentiment, that at least the sentiment that we're led to believe is the case, is against Trump, I'm surprised he even still has a chance.
Yeah.
Which it basically speaks to me to the fact that there is a rather sizable, quote unquote, silent majority. That's the term that everybody uses. Not posting to social media, that does not control the news and things like that. So, I guess, I was always, that's kind of what I was looking for. When he won Florida last night, I was like, oh damn, that's surprising. And the rest of these, I looked earlier at the 2016 election map. All three, Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota, he had won in 2016. So if he had won those three again this year, I think he would have won already.
Yeah, I've been hearing those states be labeled as the blue wall, I don't really know. I've watched so much, I'm just kind of sick of hearing terms. But yeah, I've heard that many times that was a big loss.
And then the other interesting one that I noticed is Arizona ended up being in a blue state, a Democrat state, and Texas was actually blue for a really long time until later in the day when the rest of the votes got counted. And obviously that would have been a crazy shock. But here's the weird part, or maybe not weird, but what's going on in COVID and the state of California being basically dysfunctional and the exodus of all the California people, they're going to Arizona and Texas.
Right, exactly.
And so you see, I mean, I think it's hard to say that that isn't a direct factor in Arizona ending up being a Democratic electoral vote.
Yeah.
Pretty wild.
One of the things that I've been hearing a lot late, like today, and I guess sometimes I'm quick to judge because I assume people know just as much as I know. Because, I mean, based off a scientific study done recently, I'm kind of an idiot. And so I assume that most people are at least at my level. So one of the things I've been seeing is people thinking it's a controversy or there's something going on. Like when you click on Nevada and you see that the majority of the state's red and then they're, but the blue is winning. Okay. Well, there's a thing called population density.
Yep.
Like most of Nevada is like desert. So of course, like areas like Reno and Las Vegas, where there's a ton of people, that's going to take over. And I just like, I scratch my head sometimes because I'm like, there's no way that that people don't know that stuff. It worries me that there's sometimes they might be the first person that jump onto social media to voice their opinion, but they don't know that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's crazy to me.
I think it's pretty general. Generalizing, it's pretty well known and understood that major urban centers, high population density places, trend significantly more Democrat. I mean, you can look at the entire West Coast. You can look at the majority of the East Coast, especially the Northeast, where the population density is very high.
Yep.
I mean, they basically last night they had 20% of the votes in California, and they were basically just like California, Oregon, Washington, we're signing those off. Like they were done. They didn't even have to. You know what I mean? They were going blue from the get go.
Right. Which,
and they did the same thing with Wyoming. I mean, I'm not gonna argue with that. They called Wyoming after like 6,000 votes.
Yeah,
it was insane.
And that's what's crazy to me. And I don't know why we always have the argument that there are the battleground states or they're the states that are on the line. They can go either way. Like I get it. There's going to be certain states that people move to that region to get away from stuff and to be on their own and to have whatever. But like, wouldn't you want people like fighting for your vote every single time? Like it's got to be disheartening for Wyoming when like no president, no Republican candidate or Democratic candidate ever really visit your state because they know it's just already decided.
Yeah, that's part of it. And the other part of it is both you and I are in the same boat in Wyoming, South Dakota. We don't have enough electoral votes for them to spend resources and time on.
Yeah.
But so honestly, then, looking at Nevada, they only have 6.
Right.
And it might end, it's going to be the difference.
It's going to be the, Nevada's time to shine.
Currently, it's 588,000 Biden and 580,000 Trump. That's 8,000 votes. They've only got 75% of the votes in. Like that's nothing.
Yeah.
That's a half a day of counting votes. It could go either way.
Yeah. It's definitely interesting. This is probably the most I've paid attention to a presidency or even just an election year.
I think that's everybody.
Yeah. And I've learned a little bit. I still don't know everything, but I don't know. What do you think? Do you think we like right now we make the decision, Todd and Yost? I don't like calling myself Yost. It's weird. do we make the decision right now for the whole country? Do we get rid of the Electoral College and just go popular vote?
That's a good question. I don't know where I fall on that, to be honest. I've heard arguments pro and against, and it's hard for me to render a decision. I mean, do you have an opinion on it?
Well, I do, but I think my opinion is just like, we got to do something different.
And so here's why I'm torn. Clearly, I think last year, 2016, the popular vote was lost, but Trump won the electoral. So, and if Trump were to somehow sneak out a win, it's going to be the same, if and exaggerated even further. So the case could be made that, hey, we need to take the consensus of the population to determine right. who's going to govern our country. But at the same time, what we just talked about is if you flip a map up of density of where Democrat Republican overlaps are, there's it's a 80 to 20 land share on how much of the country is covered. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
So
yeah.
like that's the counter argument. So it's, I don't know how you balance it, and maybe the Electoral College isn't a good way to balance it, but
yeah,
I'm not sure total pure popular votes are the right way to balance it either.
I just wonder if you go popular vote, I just think it could shake things up a bit in the sense of now people have to like go get your vote. Like, yeah, Wyoming for the majority is still going to vote red, or they're still going to vote Trump in this situation. As I'm looking at the map, it's literally Teton County and Albany County that were both Biden, which is no surprise if you're from Wyoming. But I just think like, okay, well now there's definitely more weight behind everybody's vote. You know what I mean? Like at a certain point, your vote doesn't count from kind of what I feel anyways. If you live in South Dakota, you live in Wyoming, you're going to be red until you're dead. Like different counties are going to vote differently, but so it just feels like hopeless to go to the polls. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there is the chance that right now, okay, well, let's look at Teton County and Albany County. Well, 67% voted for Biden in Teton County. Now, because he's winning the popular vote right now, you might be like, I made a change. I like my vote mattered in my state. You know what I mean?
So, but the option, if you wanted to do that, would be to do what Nebraska did, or what?
Yes, that's what I was going to talk did. About. Yeah.
Is split your state into districts and split our Nebraska has three electoral votes and two of them went red. One of them went blue. That's literally how theirs is set up. We could do that across the country. I mean, it would significantly
Nebraska actually has five.
They have five votes.
Yep. Four went Trump. One went Biden.
Okay. Well, either. Yeah, I believe you.
Yeah.
But like, think about somewhere like California with 55.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That to me sounds more, more fair for everybody that's arguing, you know, for everybody, one person that wants private, one person that wants to stick with the current system. I feel like that's the middle ground.
Yeah.
And I think from what I understand, that's a state decision. Like your state can decide to do that.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's what I was actually going to bring that up too, because it was one of the things that I was like super confused on, like what the heck is happening in Nebraska and Maine.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you know, do some research, folks. There's some stuff out there, and maybe popular vote isn't the right way, or the electoral college, but maybe it's time to think of something different. Like the same idea as the way we vote. Like,
how is it fair though that we can? Here's the problem. Let me tell you. How can we expect 350 million people to be happy with one person that happens to align with a certain particular political party?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's too many people. It's too big of an area to expect to have a majority agree with one person. I mean, I think we're at that point now where it's like, I mean, we were just talking about it before the pod. We're going to take the political compass test and see where we fall on the spectrum of the political parties as we know them.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you where I fall. I have an opinion on policy on certain things that may be in one camp and maybe in another camp on another thing. I truly don't know. Yeah. And I don't really care. You know what I mean? I care about where I fall on a topic, not where I fall in a party.
Right. And that's what I just keep thinking is like, there's gotta be some kind of change. Like, across the board.
Monarchy. Let's go king and queen.
There you go. Let's give it a try. It can't be freaking that bad, right? Well, and okay, so technically we're not even a democracy. We're an oligarchy, but which is something I just learned not that long ago too. So, because we elect people to be the voice for us in the system instead of our voices being like individualized, I guess.
I feel like the president's role, though, is so, what does that person actually do? They're the figurehead, basically the figurehead in a practical standpoint. They're the figurehead for foreign policy, right? But we have foreign policy advisors. Like, we could still have a foreign policy like lead, and then we could actually rely on our state senators and representatives to be the voice for everybody's state. I feel like that's how it should work. Yeah. But we end up in this constant battle between the executive branches and the president, and it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. And yeah, it's also weird that we're still doing the same things that we did when there was only 13 original colonies. Like,
yeah, everything. It's wild.
Like, even our education system was built around creating an environment to help people work in the industry. So, like, learning things, basic knowledge to be an industrial person. Yet we're still doing that same stuff now in the classroom. We're still doing the same stuff with the elections, with the presidency, with, like, everything. Like, it's okay to be like, yeah, it's not working. Or it's not the most efficient way possible. Here's a question. Do you think, this is tough, do you think America's the greatest country in the world?
I'm going to say yes, I do, partly because I think what I believe that we are trying to have their country be, I think that's the reason enough. I think we've got enough faults and internal issues right now that we may not be on the top at the moment.
Right.
That's a tough one though. I mean, I think about some of the issues and some of the concerns I have and like about creating and making everybody equal, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I feel like that contradicts what the point of the United States of America was. Like, we wanted this place to be the place where you can come and build your American dream,
right?
And not come and be equal to the guy that lives next door to you. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, we're at this like impasse of, and I kind of texted to you guys the other night, but is it, maybe I'm not evolved to understand where we need to be as a society, but that doesn't feel like what the point of the United States of America was, at least at its inception, and carried us through the last, you know, 224 years or 34 years or whatever it is.
Right. Because I think of the idea of when America was first popping off was like, especially like, you know, everybody heading west, or even just like in general, was here's your opportunity to create something of your own. Like, for the most part, we're going to try and stay out of your way. And look, there's this whole giant side of the country that nobody knows about. You know, go check it out. Go find some land. Go see what you can do with it. And I don't know. I agree. But I also don't want to, you know, spoil the chances of being sponsored by the United States of America for the podcast. So.
Sponsored by the U.S. government?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a loaded question, and it's easy to talk about, but it's like at the same time, every country's got bad things going on. Every country's got good things going on. Well, not every country, but everybody's got their own little turmoil and the stuff that they're dealing with. So it's like, you know, is anything great right now, you know? Or are we all just kind of just flying through space on this freaking blue marble? So
that's the best way to think about it, is like we're basically space dust just hurling through, you know, a black abyss. You know, we need to not take things so seriously.
Yeah, because this will always be in the history books. 2020 will always be in the history books. But at the end of the day, you know, 100 years from now, when they're looking back and talking about the 2000s or the 2010s or whatever, like, they're going to be like, those guys, like, God, look how inefficient they were. They were worrying about so much shit. But
I know. Yeah,
whatever. I also don't think we're going to make it 100 years. And that's not just like the United States. I mean, like Earth in general. I feel like there's something going to happen that just is going to be like, nah, we're taking Earth back. We're good. So
100 years. I think we got 100, but you start going 200 to 500. I'm starting to.
Oh yeah. We're not making it. We're not seeing it. There will not, I don't think there's going to be humans on Earth in 1,000 years.
1,000. I could probably, there'll be a couple.
We'll take a bet. If there's humans here 1,000 years from now, I'll give you $100.
Okay.
How shitty would that be to be the guy who died the day before they figured out how to live forever? Like,
That's a great topic to transition into. So would you want to live forever?
Well, no, because especially if I'm like on my deathbed, that means I'm going to live forever as like a 90-year-old, and that would be rough. I would understand wanting to live forever if you were in your prime and like you just didn't age after that point. You know what I mean? Like the aging process would have to stop for me to want to consider it. But also all my friends would have to be immortal because I don't want to be alone for the rest of my life.
That's the hard part. I mean, even if you say you get one person, you know, to be immortal with you, I still think that's a really tough decision.
Yeah, it is. I'd say no. I'd say like, you give me the chance to live forever, I'm picking no. You give me the chance to live an extra 50 years, maybe.
Oh yeah, all day.
But it depends on the aging. Like if you live to be 150, are you going to feel 150 or are you going to feel like 100?
That's a good point.
Yeah. So, I also think like the whole thing of like being frozen, like if you were to be frozen and then opened up again, like in the future, I don't know if I'd want to be a part of that either because, I think like my body and my mind are meant to be in this century or this time frame. You know what I mean? Like, not that it would be too much for me to handle, but like, I just feel like I'm built to be a 90s kid and, you know, to go through the internet era and to see all this and then whatever we get for the next 40 years or 50 years and then that and call it quits. Like anything past that, like my brain will literally be like, no.
I know exactly what you're saying. And that's because the unknown of the future and having to learn all the new is hard to want to sign up for, I guess. But think about, you know, I would be fine going back 100 years. It'd be I know what to expect.
100 years, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's going to suck. Some things are going to suck, but some things are also going to be like, oh, it's simple. It's easy. You know what I mean?
So if you could pick any time to go back into, and then that's where your life starts. So if you, as Todd right now, you go back in time as, let's say you keep your knowledge, okay? You go back as maybe like your current knowledge, you go back as like a five-year-old, okay? You're a super smart five-year-old. But now from that point until you grow old, that's where your life is. Where would you pick?
So this is funny because I had a conversation with my wife, with Brandy, and she said, you guys should, we've talked about it, her and I, but she suggested that you and I talk about a similar topic of picking, like if you had three, I'm going to answer your question, by the way, but if you had three opportunities to travel back in time for like a certain, you know, I mean, we could caveat it and say, you get to go back for 3 days, but that's it. Yep. And then you got to come back to real world. Like, yep. What would those three times back in history be? And I thought that was a really good, I hadn't added that to our list, but it's a similar topic. So maybe we can add that and talk about that. Yeah,
Let's do that then.
I want to think about that more. Okay. I want to answer your question.
Okay.
Because
the way I would frame that question is if there's three events in the timeline of everything that you could witness, what would those three be? That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's what the question would be. So, but I do want to answer your question on what era, if I could go back as a five-year-old.
With your current intelligence.
Yeah. Oh boy. Dude, that's a good one. So I think here's my thought process. I'd pick a time where the general state of the world was fairly stable. Pick a time where I could capitalize on the knowledge that I had to make my life easy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Financially, right. Or either financially or, you know, amassing some type of, power or wealth. And then, what else was going on that I would really enjoy? And so just off the top of my head, so 5 years old, I got a plan on when I'm going to be 18. So I'd probably go back to like, so let's see, 13 years. I'd probably go back to like the late 50s.
Wow. Okay.
That'd be my guess. Cause then it's you're after World War II. You're starting to hit that, like the booming,
You want
to
be a boomer.
Kinda. I mean, I think that'd be a great time. You could capitalize on your current knowledge and be ready for all the trends. There's really great music and, You still, you know, I think that'd be my choice. I think there was enough okay. good going on at that point that by the time you turned 18 and were, you know, 18 to 40, you'd have some pretty good times up until like basically the 90s. That'd be pretty choice.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I mean, just off the top of my head.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I'm not,
there's probably an argument to be made to go back to, I don't know, 1800s, you know what I mean? And be part of the gold rush. Like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah. Honestly. Yeah. My answer is I'm going back to the year 2000.
Okay.
As a five-year-old. So, you know, born in 95. Get to experience some of the cool, like, kid shows of the 90s and the 2000s. Music is hitting a weird moment, but, you know, you're ahead of a lot of the stuff that, so, yeah, obviously, you'll be 18 in 2018. So the only thing I would see about that is I'd have to start working early. Because at some point, I want to start getting money and then investing in some of the random things that got big fast. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you would have missed it by then.
No, because the 2000s, like, yeah, obviously there's like Google and stuff like that.
You would have missed like Amazon, Apple.
But I don't.
You would have missed all of those.
I don't want those. What I want is I want to hop on like the Facebook phase. I want to hop on like the, I just lost it. Like Facebook. I want to hop on stuff like social media stuff like Vine and Snapchat and TikTok and all that stuff where you get in early. It blew up so fast and then you just get out of it. You know what I mean? Because like the easy answer, yeah, is to go back before Google and Apple and just like, you know, skirt a little bit of money in there. But like, I just like that area of like the 90s and the 2000s like a lot. Plus like basketball was really good then.
So, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, I'm basing my information also on just like what I liked during that time.
I just feel like I almost feel like that's too close to your actual, you know what I mean? Yeah, that's like 13 years.
Yeah. No, I'd 14. Say, yeah, 2000s, it just feels good. Like I can hop in on Bitcoin at a nice time. I can just do all that stuff and I could still live in an era where I feel comfortable. Cause if I go back to the freaking 50s, like I don't like 50s music. I don't really want to.
Yeah, but you're going to be a little kid in the late 50s.
I guess. But like, I don't know. If with my current knowledge, I'm going to be very bored. I don't like doing stuff outside. Like, I'm going to be like, man, I wish I could freaking play video games right now. Like, I could go back and it literally has nothing to do with me being successful. I could just literally go back and relive the first time I played Call of Duty and be actually insane at it. Like as a 10-year-old.
That's true. You're basically you're just looking for a do-over with your current knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah. I just go back to exactly when I was five and just do everything over. Cause you imagine you get to high school, you're playing high school ball with your current knowledge in a better body. You're like, you literally have the NBA as an option. You got freaking, you could be a professional video game player as an option. Yeah. I would just go back and just do it all over again. I wouldn't even do anything fun and I wouldn't even invest money. I would just do everything the exact same, but just a little bit smarter.
And then you get to here again and you'd be like, fuck, I messed that up.
Yeah. Like, this feels weird. I feel like I've done this before.
Start a podcast earlier.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it is. And then just do like simple things, like just alter the timeline just a little bit, you know, but I don't know. I just think about like, man, the first time I played freaking like Call of Duty was insane. Like when I really got into it, or the first time the freaking, first, like my first high school basketball game, like, oh, that was like that. I was terrified. But then you put me in there as a freshman with the mentality of me knowing what I know and the basketball knowledge that I've built from that point, like I'm literally the best player in the state. even though I'd have to also like start lifting weights immediately because I was very frail and yeah. So there'd be things I'd have to start right now. Like as soon as my eyes open, I'd be like, shit, I gotta eat better. So I don't know, man. The 50s isn't a bad choice, but it's just, I wouldn't want to spend the majority of my life before the fun stuff that I knew about.
That's true.
But at the same time, if you're a freaking smart 5-year-old, So let me think about this. If you're as intelligent as you are now, are you speaking pretty much like you are now as a 5-year-old?
I think you'd know that you were like out of place. So you'd have to act dumber than you actually were.
Right. But then there's always the limitations of, oh dude, we're getting deep in here. Because if you understand, you spent 30 some years in your body and you understand how it works, but then you're thrown into a 5-year-old body. Because there's literally physiological limitations to certain things. Do you instantly start, like, is your posture better? Are you walking better?
Yeah, but at five, kindergarten age, like, you're pretty much there. Fives.
Right, but, like, you're more coordinated. So, like, if somebody throws a ball at you and you catch it one
just
hand.
Just one hand in
Beckham Jr. Yeah, like, is that, do you think that's happening?
They'd just be like, get the NFL scouts out here.
Because you're basically putting your brain, which I'm assuming comes with your central nervous system, into a tiny body.
Or like, how frustrating would it be if your brain, your intelligence was there, but all your other like sensory systems were not.
Stayed the same.
Yeah. Like they still were growing up. You're just like, God, I'm fucking uncoordinated.
Yeah, like in your head, you're just walking down the steps, but your legs are just like a mile behind you. You're just eating shit down the steps. Yeah, I don't know. And then the other side of it too is like, we get into some weird territory here. As you're a 15-year-old, but you're actually like a 30-year-old, and you're starting to hook up with girls, I mean, you're in some sketchy territory there.
That's a good point. You just get to like 12, and you're like, all right.
Yeah, I guess I'm done. Start picking up older women.
I don't know. That would be really weird.
But as a smart baby, I mean, you're doing everything you can to get on TV and, you know. So here's my question for you. You go back in time as an intelligent man. Even if you don't go back as a baby, let's say you just go back now as that Todd, and you're existing in 1950. Do you fully lean into the fact that you know everything about the future and you're like a prophet? Or do you just like hide behind and like pull the strings as you need to and like do what you got to do from behind the scenes? Like, are you arrogant about being intelligent?
Me personally, I'm probably doing it from behind the scenes.
Okay. Yeah. I think you have to, because if you become too smart, somebody's killing you.
Yeah.
And if you predict too many things, people are going to freak out.
I think so.
Yeah. So I think you almost have to, but then there's going to be different, like there's going to be different times where you're just like, man, I'm literally betting on this sport, like this game, because I know the outcome. And you know, they're going to be like, you win millions of dollars, somebody kills you for your $1 million, and you're like, damn it. So you have to play your cards so smart.
Yeah. And actually thinking about it, I don't know if I got the time quite right, but it would definitely be late 50s, so that I was, you know, this is going to sound bad, but I obviously wouldn't want to get just accidentally go back to like 1956 and then turn 18 and have to go to like Vietnam or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You just have your whole life ahead of you and it's like, no, you're done. Yeah, I get. But then do you end things faster because of what you know?
Dude, I don't know shit about Vietnam.
I was going to say, if you were to be like, what year was Vietnam? I have no idea. How did it end? As far as I know, it's still going on.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I know. I definitely don't know enough about that.
It's always been the argument that, and I know we have it as a topic and, you know, we're almost at an hour here, but it's always been that argument too of like, do you go back in time to like the Revolutionary War with like an assault rifle and just, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
We change the course of history.
Yeah.
You could go back with like a 22.
Yeah. You could go back with just a good arm and you're killing most of the people on the other side with a grenade. I don't know. There's always those silly arguments of like, you know, do you go back in time and do you kill Hitler and all that stuff? But that's, I got a lot of theories on time travel and pretty sure I'm going to unlock it one of these days. So
I definitely want to talk about the time travel, going back in era, like picking three times. So we'll right. touch on that one again.
Yeah. One last thing on the debate thing I wanted to bring up is I couldn't have been more wrong about South Dakota passing marijuana.
Yeah, no kidding.
South Dakota legalized and both recreational and medical marijuana. Now it's not official yet. I mean, there's still some stuff they got to go through, but Man, one of the greatest things about my job is hearing about all the under 18 kids, how excited they are that marijuana has been legalized. Let me tell you, that gets fun to hear after 6 hours a day. but they, it definitely, it surprised me. I did not expect it to happen. And also we legalized sports gambling. So that's kind of cool too.
Oh yeah.
South Dakota is just trying to bring in every single dollar possible.
You're going to need it. We need it in Wyoming. Yeah. We didn't do anything. So,
so here's another one that I don't know if you know, and I'm sure you do because you're a well-read man. Have you heard about Oregon today?
Decriminalizing drugs?
Yeah.
Yep, I did read about that.
It's weird.
A little bit.
It's kind of weird. I mean, there's definitely a big difference between decriminalizing and legalizing, obviously. But I do like the direction that they're heading. So instead of just throwing people in jail immediately, they're looking to give them help. And obviously it's still a crime. You still have to pay money, but instead of just being locked up for 30 some years for, you know, a small amount of something, they try and give rehabilitation instead of just locking them up. So I do think it's a good idea, but it's weird. I don't know anything about it really, but I just thought that came out of nowhere.
It did a little bit. I know that I'm pretty sure Colorado decriminalized mushrooms maybe a couple of years ago. Did you know that?
It was a couple of years ago.
So yeah. I mean, I think it's just a slow process. I mean, the marijuana side is a pretty good example of that. But Oregon's going to test the waters on the decriminalization of drugs, and honestly, I think it's probably a good thing in the grand scheme of things. There's no reason we need to just lock people up for nonviolent crimes. Let's give them the help they need, and let's do it that way. I think that's a lot more useful.
Yeah, and I don't know the terminology and the science behind it, but I do know, like, if a drug is classified as a certain thing by the federal government, it can't even be, there can't be medical trials done on it. So I'm kind of wondering if decriminalizing certain things in certain places is allowing for potential like medical studies to be done. I don't know how it works. I just know, like, cocaine and shrooms and opiates to a certain point do have benefits, whether it's dealing with PTSD, some mental things, or just pain management or whatever. But obviously used in moderation. But I just wonder if that might be where it's heading to. Like, why not give them the chance to research, you know, some of these things and see if there is any health benefits. If there's not, you just get rid of it. Well, you don't get rid of it, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know much about that either. I know that there are, what do they call them? They're like, are they schedule? They're schedules, right? I think they call them schedules. There definitely are some schedules that even the scientific community doesn't really mess with anymore. But just like, I know I did a random sidebar here, but I did a project in Washington State, central Washington, on an irrigation canal, like a big one. And one of the properties that got water from this canal, it was a government. It was basically like it's a secured facility that has government clearance to basically grow and study and produce like crazy variations of opiates. And it's really, really, really restricted because of how addictive they are and how big they are in the illegal, you know, market. Yeah. But from a medical standpoint, that's what that facility did. But it was pretty interesting to be on the canal, which was, you know, 500 feet behind it, but they got chain link and razor wire and people going in and out with scanner IDs and freaking bright cameras watching us. And they got trucks coming in and out. So I'm sure that they're like, you know, guarded and probably have escorts, and it's pretty wild.
Yeah, that is pretty crazy. While you were talking, I was looking up the schedules of drugs. So I got that information real quick. Okay, here we go. Schedule one drugs. Substances or chemicals are defined as drugs with no currently accepted medical use or a high potential for abuse. So we're talking heroin, LSD, marijuana, which
That one's ridiculous, but
yep, ecstasy and peyote.
Mm-hmm.
Schedule two, there's same thing, high potential for use or abuse with potentially leading to severe psychological or physical dependence.
Mm-hmm. Opiates.
Yeah, so we're talking opiates. Well, all opiates, honestly.
Yep.
Methamphetamine, stuff like mm-hmm. that. Schedule three are moderate to low potential for dependence.
What's in schedule three?
Schedule three is, so this is kind of along the lines of stuff that could help with, that can be used. Well, actually, I don't know now that I'm looking at this list. Low potential for physical and psychological dependence. Schedule three drug abuse potential is less than one in two, but more than four. That doesn't give me anything. The products contain less than 90 milligrams of codeine. So Tylenol, ketamine, anabolic steroids, and testosterone.
Gotcha.
That's weird. Four is low potential for abuse and low risk of dependence. Xanax, which I don't know why that's on there because people overdose on that shit all the time. Xanax, Valium. I've never even heard of some of these. Ambien's on there. And then last one, schedule five, low potential for abuse. And then there's some narcotics, which is codeine. And I've never heard of the other ones.
So I just did a, so schedule three, basically schedule three and beyond is medicines and things that we're fairly used to seeing. Some of the examples of schedule three that I just looked up, ketamine, Tylenol with codeine, which is prescription only, anabolic steroids, testosterone. So here's a random factoid to tie this whole episode together. Did you know Joe Biden was basically the lead on getting anabolic steroids and testosterone added to this list?
Huh, I did not know that, actually.
Huh. Boom. Fact of the day.
I thought you were going to wrap it up and be like, well, now that we're talking about drugs, my first job technically, and then you just go into, go into that whole legal side of young Todd. Yeah, we covered some ground here on a Wednesday, Todd.
It was good. It was nice and tight.
Yeah, we're gonna workshop an intro for the show. I'm also probably going to reach out to some of the kids that I know that are trying to be future rappers slash producers and see if they can come up with a cool intro for us. But the problem is if they want to make money from it, then they can go F themselves. So we're going to use our resources. We're going to make the show better. We're going to come back on Sunday, bigger, badder, stronger. Todd, it's always good talking. We've got a lot to talk about. Probably by Sunday, we might not even know who the president is. So
we might know who it is. We might know who it is, and we can put this item to bed. And we got lots of stuff on the list. I'm looking forward to digging into Sunday in the more long form. And unless you got anything else, I say we wrap her up.
Yeah, wrapping it up again. Another Throw It in the Ocean podcast with Todd and me. I'm not saying Yost. That's weird. Me is also weird. But thanks for listening. Keep up the support. Todd, have yourself a freaking good night. We'll talk to you soon.
You too, man. See ya.
See ya.